He organized his first civil rights protest during World War II. That was long before most people had even heard of the phrase civil rights. In the 1960s, he helped turn the name Freedom Riders into household words. James Farmer died yesterday. He was 79 years old. At the height of the civil rights movement, people called Farmer one of the Big Four. He was one of the four best-known leaders who helped shape the strategies and philosophies of the civil rights movement. The most famous name, of course, was Martin Luther King. We called civil rights veteran John Lewis, who's now a congressman, and asked him if he could remember one incident that crystallized what made Farmer great. And Lewis told us about a chapter during the Freedom Rides. Those were the audacious, dangerous protests where blacks would insist on their right to ride segregated buses in the South. Here's John Lewis.
James Farmer was an unusual leader. First of all, he was a very big man, tall. He had a mighty, strong, powerful voice. He could sing until it seemed like the walls were going to shake. I remember very, very well in 1961, during the height of the Freedom Rides, we had all been arrested and placed in jail in Jackson, Mississippi. And our cell block was full to capacity. And there was a great deal of tension, some fear. But Farmer just started singing as loud as he could, an old labor song. Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on? My father was a freedom fighter, and I'm a freedom fighter's son. And it went on and on, and everybody became very quiet, including the guards. I think he had a way of using his voice to make people feel at ease and to comfort those of us that were in jail, as well as said to the guards and to the jailers, are we all right?
Did he shape who you are for better or for worse in one way or another?
Well, I think James Farmer had a great deal of influence on me. I grew to admire him, to respect, and to love him. He taught us the very technique of how to travel on that bus during the Freedom Rides in May of 1961.
When you say he taught you how to ride the buses, what do you mean exactly?
In Washington, he conducted nonviolent workshops, had us to go through what we call social drama, what we would do as we walked into a so-called white waiting room, a so-called colored waiting room as an interracial group. If we were knocked down, if we were beaten, how we were supposed to try to protect our heads and certain vital parts of our bodies. He taught us how to get in the way. We didn't know how it was going to come out, but somehow we had to get in the way. We had to take the risk. It was a very daring and very dangerous trip to leave Washington, D.C. on a Greyhound bus, a trailway bus, to travel through the heart of the Deep South. Farmer led the way. And when we were arrested and jailed in Mississippi, he was there with us.
Congressman John Lewis of Georgia. You can read more about James Farmer's life and struggles in the Pulitzer Prize-winning book called Parting the Waters. The author is Taylor Branch. Taylor Branch, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Danny. Glad to be here. You
know, most stories about James Farmer focus on his battles in the heyday of the civil rights movement in the 1960s. But I know that your own research has convinced you that he made his most historic contributions much, much earlier.
Right. He and a small group of eccentric pacifists and left-wingers laid the groundwork for the modern civil rights movement as a 22-year-old when Farmer founded the Congress of Racial Equality in 1942, going in trying to bring about racial reconciliation by nonviolent techniques. And nobody paid any attention to him for 19 years. They went on freedom rides in the first freedom ride in 1947.
Really?
And they thought that it was a way for a small group of people to draw attention to racial injustice. And they went on a freedom ride, and they all wound up on the chain gang in North Carolina. And really, in 1961, after the sit-in student movement in the South took over and became a mass phenomenon, Farmer sitting up there in New York City And somebody said, well, why don't we reprise our 1947 Freedom Ride 14 years later? And so they recruited a group of people, including a young John Lewis from Nashville, to attempt to ride a bus as an integrated group from Washington, D.C. to New Orleans. This time they got through North Carolina and all the way to Alabama, where the two buses were ambushed. One burned in Anniston, Alabama, and the other one got into the Trailway station in Birmingham, and they were all beaten. And for a whole week, really 2 weeks, the gathering international press focused, including the president and the attorney general, the National Guard, the governor, on whether an integrated bus could literally move a foot out of the Birmingham bus station. And it really catapulted James Farmer's organization for the first time into national prominence. But the point is, they were doing this as a reprise of what they had been doing back in the 40s.
I've read that in recent years, James Farmer was stunned, appalled, really, that some young blacks, according to public opinion surveys, had never heard of him or the other civil rights greats of the 1960s and earlier. Some didn't even know who Martin Luther King was. Now that James Farmer has died, I mean, he was the last surviving big leader of the civil rights movement of the 1960s. How do you think this might affect what I guess is still a civil rights movement, but in a very different shape in America?
Well, I think that it makes it all the more imperative to recognize how unusual and how penetrating this movement was to spread nonviolence and democracy all around the world. So it makes it all the more important to try to remember people like Farmer and their courage. It was an amazing mixture of intellectual ferment, eccentricity, and sheer courage. And, of course, in many respects, that's like the Founding Fathers. That's a very patriotic mix.
Taylor, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Dan.
Taylor Branch is author of The Histories of the Civil Rights Movement, Parting the Waters and Pillar of Fire. He's been speaking to us from his home in Baltimore, Maryland.